Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Vinsys IT Services India Limited H2 FY25 and FY25 earnings conference call, organized by Capital Bridge Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikrant Patil, Chairman and Managing Director from Vinsys IT Services India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I hope all of you have had a chance to go through our financial results, investor presentation, and the press release, all of which are available on the stock exchange and also on our website. Joining me today on this call are Mr. Kunal Patil, Managing Director, International Business, Mr. Karan Patil from the Promoter Group, Ms. Sanika Damankar, Chief Financial Officer, Dr. Mohammad Aslam, CEO of GCC, Mr. Nilesh Devadas, Chief Technology Officer, Ms. Gayatri Karandikar, our Company Secretary, and Mr. Rutul Shah and Mr. Rajesh Shah from Capital Bridge Advisors, our investor relations consultants. Let me now walk you through the key highlights for FY25. We are happy to share that we delivered a strong performance in FY25, with consolidated revenue and net earnings growing by 24% to 212 crores and 31% net earnings of 2.30 rupees crores, respectively. As mentioned previously, our IPO proceeds were earmarked for international expansion. We are excited to report that our Middle East revenue grew by 71% in FY25, supported by timely capital deployment and focused execution. This growth is a testament of our prudent capital allocation strategy and our commitment to delivering long-term value to shareholders. Now, starting with geographic performance, across our core markets, that is the Middle East and India, we continue to solidify our position in existing markets and expand our footprint in newer geographies while deepening our relationships and increasing our wallet share. Coming back to the Middle East, as mentioned earlier, our revenue from the region increased by 71% year-on-year in FY25 to INR 80 crores on account of opportune utilization of the IPO proceeds. Vinsys currently operates six offices in the region across UAE, Oman, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia, as regulatory tailwinds allowed us to open local offices and employ regional talent. We are pleased to share that we continue to remain number one corporate trainer in the region. While our forte has been learning solutions, we aim to expand our footprint in the region by scaling the technology services business as clients continue to invest in automating and digitizing their operations. Our strong cash reserves further bolster our eligibility to bid for large-scale government and enterprise IT projects. Kunal, Karan, and Dr. Aslam are based in the region and continue to steer our operations locally. Coming back to India, our India revenue grew by 6% year-on-year in FY25 to INR 129 crores. Learning solutions business in India grew by 13% year-on-year to INR 30 crores, while our technology service business in India degrew by 9% year-on-year in FY25. We are also pleased to share that we recently won a 19 crore order from Uttar Pradesh Cooperative Bank to digitize 1,000 primary agricultural credit societies across Uttar Pradesh. We remain focused on pursuing large margin-accretive software development tenders in this market. The rest of the world revenue grew by 55% year-on-year in FY25, albeit on a low base. Within the rest of the world, the U.S. remains a key strategic focus as we continue to build our learning solutions and technology services business in this geography. Since the United States is a large market, even a trivial market share gain can have an outsized impact on our earnings. Let me move to the line of business update. Learning solutions business grew by 41% year-on-year in FY25 to INR 106 crores, aided by strong growth in the Middle East. This vertical grew by 56% year-on-year in FY25 to INR 73 crores in the Middle East. Technology services business grew by 28% year-on-year in FY25 to INR 25 crores as we accelerate our execution in the Middle East. Manpower and staffing services business grew by 7% year-on-year in FY25 to INR 81 crores. Next, on financial and operational metrics. Revenue from operations grew by 24% year-on-year in FY25 to 212 crores, driven by accelerated revenue growth in the Middle East. EBIT, that is earnings before interest and tax, increased by 37% year-on-year to 36 crores in FY25, with the margins at 16.9%, up 163 basis points. Our EBIT margins expanded as we continue to streamline our operations while focusing on export-oriented revenue growth. Profit after tax was up by 31% year-on-year in FY25 to 30 crores. Cash flow from operations stood at 13 crores in FY25 versus negative 11 crores in FY24. We continue to add clients across segments and geographies while deepening our wallet share in existing clients. Client retention was 98% plus in FY25. Employee headcount was 425 as on 31st March 2025, up 23% on year-on-year basis. ROE, that is return on equity, was 22.9% in FY25 versus 22.7% last year, up 24 basis points. ROCE, that is return on capital employed, was 24.5% in FY25 versus 22.1% last year, up to 39 basis points. Our focus remains on sustainable, profitable growth while continuing to invest in delivery capability and our technology backbone. Looking ahead, we continue to remain resilient despite heightened global macroeconomic volatility, regional conflicts, and uncertain impact of trade tariffs. We remain confident of delivering strong revenue and earnings growth in FY26, as we have demonstrated historically. This growth will be driven by expansion in the Middle East, larger mandate wins in software development services, and sustained growth in our learning solutions business. We will continue to deliver long-term value to all our shareholders by investing in M&A, expanding our solution offerings, and bidding for larger margin-accretive tenders. For a detailed overview of our results, please refer to our investor presentation. That's all from my end. We are now open to any questions from the participants because I want to make it more interactive so that we will be able to deliver what has been expected out of us. Over to you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nikhil Shetty from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, I'm pretty new to your company. So, while it appears that your current focus is primarily on the training and related services, because the staffing, again, is the low-margin business. So, is there any clear path for them to scale meaningfully? I'm talking about the training and the technology. What kind of a contract you have currently with? You mentioned about one large contract or large mandate. If you can elaborate more on that, the size and the execution, you know, the phases of execution. And are you planning to enter into any product segment? And lastly, how do you see your overall revenue mix evolving over the next 2 to 3 years? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So there are multiple questions in it, but I will address it one by one. So predominantly what you've asked is, and you're absolutely right that you did mention about manpower revenue, the margins are less, but I will come back to it. It has its own advantages for us as an organization. So that will keep on continuing because it gives us leverage in terms of to bid for the projects which are on the higher scale. I'll come back to that. But to answer your first question is, training and software services are the other two pillars where we operate in, and they are the ones who are giving us the maximum growth, and not in terms of revenue, but also in terms of profitability. So training and certification business, which we do, if you see the growth, growth is almost around 41% year on year on the learning solutions. Even if you see on the technology side, the growth is 28% year on year. So learning, as I said, Middle East is something which we really work very hard into it, as well as in India. Also, we are growing exponentially in terms of learning solutions. In Middle East, we are number one as far as training organization as a training company is concerned. There we have acquired more, so the locations is something which we look at. Offerings of different courses is what we look at. That is going to give us expansion. So learning solutions is one of our forte wherein we will grow exponentially there. Apart from that, we also are looking at geographical expansion, which we are already doing it now in the Middle East, not only in Middle East, but in the US as well as in African market. So we've already have our footholds there. You will see a lot of traction happening this year. So that's one part in increasing in the learning solutions. So learning solutions will grow. I may not give you the exact number as to how it will grow, but it will exponentially grow. In India, in the Middle East, and which we are already established in, and then we are looking at new geographies, which is US and the African market. So learning solutions has a very good path ahead. Similarly, in the technology services, if you see, our learning solutions opens us doors for the technology services. So the same clients whom we are dealing with for the learning solutions, they become eventually our technology services. Our technology services division is quite young, and that's why it is growing now, and there we see a huge potential of exponential growth. We do have after the IPO proceeds, we have already established ourselves, we have a team, we have already created our own products. So that will answer one of your questions as well, because you are asking whether we're getting into. So we already have our own products which we are enhancing, developing, and we are coming up with new products as well. Plus, in the services division, we also bid for bigger projects, and that's where our manpower revenue comes into picture. So to bid for bigger projects and to qualify for bigger projects, we have to have that strength in terms of not only in the revenue, but also in terms of manpower to qualify for those projects. So we are very upbeat about the technology services division growing exponentially as well. Now we already have some footprint in the Middle East, and we are also looking at some projects in the US. Also, if we look at merger and acquisition, is something which we are already contemplating on, trying to evaluate our different companies. The moment we get into one of the company which qualifies all the norms which we have decided for, that will also give us inorganically a push. So if you ask me, for the next 2-3 years, in fact, we have a roadmap for the next 4-5 years, which is going to give us exponential growth in both the divisions. I hope I have answered your question.
Yes, yes, sir. Thank you so much. That's all.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishit Javeri from PI Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. First of all, I'll also appreciate the quality of the presentation and the detailed details given. I really appreciate it. My first question is towards the recent order win in the UP segment, around 19 crores. What would be a timeline here, and in terms of margins, would it be a high margin structure for us?
So it is, all the details are there on the stock exchange where we have given the details about it. It's a typically 1.5 years of implementation initially, and then the remaining 3.5 years is the maintenance. So the first 1.5 years is something which we have to implant. 60% of the revenue will be accounted in the first 18 months itself. And then the remaining 40 will come in as a maintenance. And as we've been doing this even in the last year, but on a smaller scale, so there are a few products which we have already developed and we already executed few orders. So we are already into it. So margin-wise, it's definitely going to be a very good outcome for us in this year. So the actual margins will be higher, but it all depends as to how quick and fast and how early we close this, because it's a big project for us, as because there are 1,000 packs is what we call digitized, and the only challenge there is the terrain, because it's spread across UP, and UP being a bigger state. So we are not able to exactly calculate the profitability, but definitely it is going to be above 30-40%. Hello?
So does that answer your question?
Does that answer your question? I think there is a sound behind which is there. I don't know. Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
So we have lost the connection of the current participant. We will move on to the next participant, which is from the line of Rishi Kathuri from AlphaQ Trade Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I had specific questions regarding the regional split that we have. So, of course, overall we had a good growth numbers, but India being one of the laggard growth for us, how exactly are we planning to have good growth from India as a region? And apart from that, what all other plans do we have for FY26 and beyond in terms of organic as well as inorganic growth?
So I think your observation is right, and I really appreciate it. The reason why there is no growth, it's not a growth, but a couple of reasons I would like to put down here. The one major reason is that our software services revenue doesn't look, it's not been accounted because it had to be overflown to this year. So there was a lot of requirements which have been finalized. The delivery started and so the purchase orders came in a little late, and that's why it spilled over to this year. So we couldn't recognize that revenue last year. The same happened with our training division as well. There were contracts which we had won, which were supposed to be executed last year, which didn't happen, and that has been spilled over to this year, which is good for us that this year we already have already an assured business which is going to come in, because which was supposed to happen last year. Plus, last year we saw, if you see our training, if you see the technology services division, which is the software development service division, last year we are based out of Maharashtra. We are based in Pune, and so we work closely with the government of Maharashtra as well for the software services division. We had elections last year here, as well as we had a national election last year. So because of the code of conduct in place, few of our orders were not executed immediately, and that spilled off to this year. And that's why, but we are very happy and we are very comfortably positioned now, because we already have the pipeline with us. So going forward, in the technology, in the learning solutions division, we have already hired the right set of people which are already there in the place. We already have expanded couple of offices. Bhopal is one of our new addition which will happen this year. Bangalore is something which is already set and running. And there are few people, very senior, good resources, which have been onboarded in the last quarter, end of the last quarter of the last year. So they will be actually getting in, they will be productive this year onwards. So training business, I see there's a lot of potential which I see. Similarly, we never had assured book order value, which was already there for software services, which is already there now. So going forward, technology division will grow in the government sector as well as in the private sector. plus learning solutions will also grow. On top of it, that when as you had asked the question, is how are we looking at inorganic growth? So we are also we keep meeting different companies from the technology space and from the training space, and look at some mergers and acquisitions, and we keep evaluating companies. We have set up our own criteria. If they qualify that, we will definitely go ahead with the merger and acquisition, and we will make sure that there's enough growth which is required. And we are very hungry for growth, so we will make sure that we achieve that. I hope I've answered your question.
Yeah, understood. Thank you so much for clarification. And also just wanted to acknowledge the fact that, I mean, kudos to the IR team, the PPT that they have prepared, and also they were very well, you know, very helpful in terms of, you know, introducing us to the company, about the whole company, how exactly the business are. Thank you so much, Rusul Shah and Raja, for that. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mukesh from WC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Congratulations for good set of numbers. So my first question is, like, going ahead, how should we see our EBITDA margin? Should it be around 16-17%, or there's some scope for improvement?
See, if you see our manpower revenue, if it is, if you remove that manpower revenue, our EBIT margins would be about 22-23%. But still, as I said, manpower business is something which is very close to us and which is very, very important for us. So anyway, the revenue, if you see, EBIT margins are really good for us if we remove that, which is about 20%. And we're also trying to see how we can increase the EBIT margins in the manpower business as well. But it has its own limitations. But going forward, looking at the technology services, the department wherein if you see the revenue is very, very less, as far as it's just 25 crores this year, it will definitely, the moment the revenue in that technology services grows, it will definitely bring in more EBIT margin, will definitely increase. Similarly, Middle East operations is also giving us an excellent EBIT increase. Now, this year, the revenue has grown 71%, so which means that is also an important factor wherein the margins in the Middle East are also good. So going forward, I would see if my manpower business does not supersede anybody else, then we definitely have a very good EBIT margin. But looking at EBIT margins currently, I think it will definitely improve.
Correct. And sir, our most of the growth came from Middle East. So how this market is expected to grow, and what is the scope for growth, like how big this can become for us in the terms of revenues 3 to 4 years from now?
Yeah. So I do have a very competent team sitting in Dubai, Kunal, Karan and Dr. Mohammed Aslam, who is our CEO. If you want, can Kunal or Dr. Aslam, can you take this? Because I have a lot of points which I can mention, but if it is better that you people get into this call and just explain them the scenario in the Middle East. Hello?
Okay, I was thinking that Kunal will probably take up. Thank you so much for, you know, probably allowing me to answer this. I've been in the Middle East from past 25 years. Just to let you know, if you want to get the size of Middle East, will probably go in definitely more than $200 billion, because we have a vision back here in the Middle East of getting by the different authorities. I'll probably take you to the topmost authority, wherein which UAE has announced currently globally ranking third in the AI implementation, and it has got a vision of 2031, which they want to be the number one in AI implementation. So as in Vinsys, we are in the process of getting the AI academy under training, and that will probably be the frontliner for us to gain the momentum in the entire Middle East on the AI front. So that will probably be the main criteria. for us to, you know, apart from the other sources of revenue on scaling, this will be the major thing which will probably. So outlook is great, and then the market size and the growth projections are definitely there out in public domain on the number wise. But we have got the right, you know, feet on streets, in, specifically on the different GCC, whereas we have physically teams available, and they have got their inroads and penetration in the B2B segment. So we are mostly doing business to business over here. And then we have got sustainable contracts in hand on the training. So we are also involved into government-led initiatives of, you know, Emiratization, Saudiization, Qatarization. So, well, that is the main thing which we are actually involved in currently. So AI Academy is the frontliner, which will probably be in action in as a major revenue driver in the Middle East. And we'll continue, you know, perhaps our targets are very high within ourselves, and the growth will probably be, you know, similar or double than what we are probably talking about.
So they have their feet on the street already there in place. We have all offices. It's very different to do business in the Middle East. I'm sure you must be aware, but having local licenses, local people, local language. So everything is set after our IPO proceeds. We have implemented everything which is required for the growth. And they're all set, and they have already shown that 71% of growth, which is phenomenal in any business. We are also sitting pretty as number one training organization there, and already have not only people but also the reach. The customer's base is strong, and it's not related to only one industry. They have the people from government, they have customers, government is our customer, the oil and gas, BFSI, everybody is our customer, and they are growing. Saudi Arabia market, everybody knows how it is growing exponentially. So it's a very, very sweet spot we are in, and growth for the next 4 or 5 years is exponential. Apart from that, we are also looking, we also have a digital learning piece which is there, which is the e-learning, which is also growing. So there, our product basket and offerings are such that it's one-stop shop for the, for any customer. Apart from that, we were not supporting them in the software services division, which is also, which is now, which is all set. We have people already there in our, all locations looking after that. So growth in Middle East, whatever growth happens, we are definitely ready there to make sure that we ride that growth. Apart from that, we are also looking from Middle East, we are looking at Africa as a market. So even there, we are still just made our inroads in a couple of nations. So there, it's a huge potential there in the Middle East and Africa. And location-wise, we definitely have that advantage. And the first mover advantage is already there.
So just to add to all the conversations coming in from the key members, what we have been achieving in the Middle East is that we've expanded vertically and you know, have acquired the whole GCC as location, as far as location is concerned. As of date, only Saudi Arabia has got potential to do what we've done annually as a turnover, as the market is quite huge. Currently, it's just been a year and a half that we've entered Saudi Arabia, which is a very tough market just to set up even a company. And with the laws and the regulations, it took us a long time, and now we've quite settled in Saudi Arabia. So what we currently have achieved in the 71% growth is just 20% has come from Saudi Arabia. In the next 5 years, in the growth that Saudi Arabia is looking at as a country, I think in terms of learning solutions and digitization of the whole nation, we've got a huge potential. So potential-wise, one country is enough to even achieve the revenues that we have achieved as a consolidated basis. So that's what we look at potential in the region as of now.
That is great, sir. That is good. And, sir, what about Indian market? As we haven't seen any good growth in Indian market, so can you throw some light on it also?
I did answer that, but I'll again answer shortly because, see, there were a couple of orders in the training division as well as in the software services which spilled over this year. which were supposed to happen, and the reasons also I mentioned about the code of conduct and all those things. Apart from that, we also have added very, very good resources in the learning solution division as well. Not only in and location wise is what I'm trying to say, and we have increased our location. So this year we see a huge. We ourselves have. In fact, the spillover itself is given us that cushion, more cushion to grow, grow on year-on-year basis. Already have orders in pipeline and already book order book is already there. So this year, not only the previous business which has come in, but also the new team which I said we hired in the last quarter of the last year. That was precisely in March. Which people have joined in now, and they'll start giving results in the next month. So there's almost 6 to 7 senior resources who have been added throughout India, being hired from the industry itself. And so we see the pipeline is already there. We have added a couple of customers, huge big customers, with the potential of giving us a very, very high returns on that. And also this new team has its own set of customers also which will be onboarded. So I see a huge potential this year, and I'm very, very confident about India market as the results have shown in the Middle East. But I'm seriously contemplating on, we always have a competition between India and Middle East, so we would definitely love to have that positive competition. So this year looks very good in India as well.
Okay. And so they have an office in US also.
Yes, that's right.
But we don't have any business right now.
So we have business. It's a very small. It's just 3.5 crores, which we built last year, which has a very huge potential. And we only have a subsidiary which is there. And most of the business is being handled from in India and delivered. Our model itself is that you can have an online training as well as in person. So we do have contracted trainers there. But the revenue is pretty small, but the margins are pretty high. And that is our next potential growth which we see. We are also looking at contemplating at acquiring some of the training companies there, which we have already in the advanced talks. We will let you know as and when it goes ahead.
Okay, sir. And sir, one broader question, like going ahead, where do you see Vinsys in 3-4 years from now in terms of revenues and profitability, if you can throw some light on?
Well, if you ask me, I'm very, very upbeat about it, and whatever we have promised, we have delivered. So we always set very high benchmarks, and I'm not saying this to just please you. But there is a background which is created already. You need, for exponential growth, you need to have team, you need to have locations, and you need to have customers. And we have all three. And you need to have that enough fire to make sure you need to be hungry. So all our team, we also have given our ESOPs last year. And after giving those ESOPs, the amount of change which I see in the team, and that doesn't mean that they were not performing, but the exponential growth which I see, the team sees, the management sees, everybody in the team now looks after it. And so if you ask me, the next 4-5 years are really going to be, you will be very happy if you invest today.
Great. Thanks a lot for answering all the questions well in detail, and wish you all the best for the future. And sir, so there's one more request. It would be great from the next result, if we can upload the result, like if we can give some time gap between the call and result.
Sure, we'll definitely do that.
Thank you so
much.
We'll
definitely do that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishit Javeri from PI Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Sorry, last time I got disconnected. My first question is towards the cash flows. So being an IT company, this year we turned CFO positive, but consistently since last 2 to 3 years we are not positive on the CFO side. Any specific reason, and how do we plan to scale up our cash flows going ahead?
Okay, yes, it's a great question. We have our CFO also here. She might add few things, and I will also pitch in. So she might help you answer this.
Sanika.
Yes, first of all, thank you for your question. Yes, the CFO has been positive this year, and with this election-related disruption behind us and this payment cycles normalizing, we anticipate improved cash flow generation in at FY26 also. And the operations will be also stabilized further in Middle East too. So, and the external disruptions are also expected to reduce. So we will be maintaining that positive CFO.
So basically, I think what she's trying to say is that our software services business, which was, which is 85% of government last year, and because of those two code of conducts which came in Maharashtra and the elections of India, there was a delay in our payments and delay, and that got streamlined in the month of March. That's what we did, and that's where we were concentrating on making sure that doesn't repeat. And that was a software development is something which is the reason why there was a little bit lower on whatever you mentioned about. So going ahead, I don't think so we have any issues on that term. And even as I said, our order book is not related to only the government business now. So it has also come with a lot of private business which is coming in. So I think definitely the target itself for the CFO is that it has to be improved, and it will definitely improve.
Okay, sir. Sir, second question, being such a high growth market, Middle East has been a consistent performer for us. So just a concern on the currency or the forex part, do we have any hedging system, or how do we manage the currency fluctuations, sir?
Currently, it's a wholly owned subsidiary of our listed entity. So they bill it from there. And the billing is done from there. I think Sanika wants to add something on it.
No, the same way. So there is no exchange of this thing as such. The entities over there deal with the bill the customers over there, and local domestic market is taken care of by Indian entity.
And even the customers there want us to invoice them in the local currencies. And they, for us also to invoice there, we also have to have the, so basically, like for example, Kunal would have added, but Saudi Arabia is something where you have to bill them from Saudi and your office has to be in Saudi. If you bill them from India, then they don't consider it as a local company. And as Dr. Aslam was mentioning, that it is Saudiization, Qatarization and Omanization. So basically we do it from there. So it's
okay,
a natural
sir.
Head, yeah. It's a natural head which is happening.
Okay. Thank you, and all the best for the future, sir.
Very much. Thank you. We need your best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Rohit from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Am I audible?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and good set of numbers. While you have been telling us about the, the whole lot of opportunity in the Middle East market, can you throw some light on the competition? I mean, if you can name few players who are a competition to us over there, and when you say we have a first mover advantage in few of the geography, so does that mean that there are no competition in few of these markets?
I would thank you for your question. I would be very happy to say that there is no competition, but yes, I don't want to be arrogant as well. See, there is competition regionally. So we might have a company who competes us in the Middle East. There are a lot of companies from India also who compete with us in the Middle East. They don't have a setup, but they still have. So these are very small companies, but for us as a brand, and the amount of trainings which we offer, we don't only offer in the technology space, but we also, there are so many other areas where we offer. So if you consider the product basket which we have, that gives us sheer advantage, as we are, there would be no competition if you consider about the product basket, because there are different products which we offer, and under one roof, that's one. Two, we have regional or maybe country-wise competition, but if you consider as a Middle East as a whole, there won't be anybody who's there as far as the competition is concerned. Same happens in India as well. We might have regional competition. We might have companies in Pune only who deals in with customers in Pune, but they are not pan India present. Similarly, in the Middle East. So competition, yes, but and because sheer size and sheer product basket what we have and the sheer presence, I think I doubt there would be anybody. We can't say that he's a competitor. But yes, if you ask me, there would be a competitor in Dubai. There would be a competitor. Even companies in Dubai, if they don't have office in Abu Dhabi, they can't bid for projects in Abu Dhabi. So for us, we are there in Dubai as well as Abu Dhabi. So that gives us advantage. Even in Saudi, we were initially. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, yeah, I'll add something on that. Like Mr. Chan said, we've got competition on locality basis as well as also as on product basis. Some companies focus only on the some products, but with us, we are in the IT learning space as well as, you know, much more other trainings. Apart from that, as a brand, we are pan GCC, which gives more level of comfort to the customers as they are also spread across the GCC. So if I'm working with a bank in Dubai, in terms of training or software, they have their locations in Saudi Arabia, they have their locations in Qatar. So at the same time, they get support across the region and they're not quite worried. So we have a customer based in Saudi Arabia. It's a part of the PIS. We've been helping them in their IT services and managed services. As a customer, they have the most comfort with to work with us as we are spread across the region. So they don't have to have a different company in Dubai and they don't have to work with a different company in Saudi Arabia. One company that they have start working with us, they have support across. So as competition as such, we do have it. In the IT training space, nobody is close to us and we're very proud when we say that. If you want to name us, we have some global giants that we compete with, Global Knowledge and New Horizons. But in terms of the market share, we do hold a good number of market share in the Middle East as far as it's concerned. In the rest of the trainings that we are trying to achieve, we are going there, we are trying to reach there because we've panned out into engineering programs, we've panned out into leadership programs, we've panned out into a lot of other level of programs that we're looking at, as Middle East is just not about IT, but also much more other courses. And now that AI is the next focus, the focus has come back again on IT, and we were just going through an article. Middle East is not investing in oil anymore. They're investing in coders. So AI is the new thing. And given that we are in the sweet spot, we don't see a challenge in terms of the competition is concerned. And like Mr. Vikrant said, setting up a company is a big challenge. Their roles and regulations are so stringent that competition, even if they open up, they shut doors after a year. So competition is not much of a concern. As long as we are able to, you know, grab most amount of market share, we are good in the region. I hope that answers.
Yeah. And sir was mentioning, there is some, unbilled revenue that we are expecting to get from the India business. Would it be able to quantify that?
Well, that's in the software services as well as in the training. So that is which has already started. So the execution has already started. So this year, I think we should be able to. So that's why we see India training business this year should be the highest what we have been achieving since our inception. So that's the reason. Two reasons. One is the spillover, and the second most important thing is the people who are already hired and they are already into the market. So it's all sales team which we have inducted in the new people who were already there previously on as our target people, but they have joined us and they took us time. So even if you see in India, there's very less competition as far as pan India is concerned. Only Aptech and NIT is the other names, but even that Aptech is in some different they have to B2C, whereas NIT is predominantly doing into the US market. So there was a lack of a pan India aggressive vendor, which is what we want to look, and we want to acquire that space, and we already have that, everything is in place for that. So in terms of numbers, if you ask me, I just don't want to set any numbers, but the previous ones is I would not be able to actually quantify, but surely execution will happen, and as I said, that will be a huge growth for us this year, not only the spillover, but I'm more confident about the new orders which we have, which the pipe, when I see the pipeline, that is what is exciting.
Got it. And lastly, on your receivable days, so is there a stark difference between the receivable days for the government projects and the others? And usually how it is, how are your receivable days, planned, as in, and most of the payment is fag end and after the completion of the project?
All the training businesses, training receivables are at the end of the training. But trainings are typically up to 5 days or 10 days maximum, full day. But that's 90 days after that is what, 60 to 90 days is what we get from the training. And all our customers, so there's no bad debt. All our customers are Fortune 500 companies in India as well as in outside. So training is pretty set, and we've been doing it for quite some time. Software services is something which we, as I said, it's little young, but it was only for the last year we had an issue because of all those elections and the code of conduct. But I don't think so any reason. So even for software services, it's milestone basis. So there are milestones. After every milestone, we get paid. And is pretty much what we achieve. If we achieve the milestone properly, I think the payment comes in immediately. It was only that last year it got stuck because they were not able to make the payment because of the code of conduct.
So 90 days is a good assumption to work with, right, for your receivable?
That's right.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir, for answering my question. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vikrant Patil for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. And it was really a pleasure talking to you today. And thank you for joining the call today. Please feel free to reach out to Capital Bridge Advisors in case you have any queries. And we definitely want your best wishes. And thank you for your best wishes. And have a great evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
On behalf of Capital Bridge Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.